Open your Bibles here this morning, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we find ourselves this morning in verse 21. And the title of my message here this morning is Learn to Discern. Learn to Discern. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, Prove or test all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ that loved us and gave himself for us. And I thank you for the Spirit of God that indwells every believer, that's a spirit of truth. And Father, I pray that the Spirit of the living God would move in and among us here this morning, illuminating your word to our hearts. And Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So Lord, bless us here this morning as we gather around it. Lord, help me be a vessel that brings glory and honor to thy holy name. And Father, I pray that your word would take root in our hearts to bring forth fruit in our lives. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, discerning is very important for believers here. We want to be able to discern between right and wrong, good and bad, because one day we're going to what? Stand before God and give account of our lives. And we want to live a life that's pleasing to him. And in verse 23, it says, the very God of peace, sanctify. Sanctify means being set apart. And set apart for who? For God. God wants us to be sanctified, to live for him, and to live a life. But God wants us to be discerning people. Now, in verse 20, we looked at last week, it says, despise not prophesying. Prophesying has the aspect of foretelling, something that's never known before, foretelling. Foretelling is telling what's already known. Prophesying covers both aspects of either telling something that's going to happen in the future or tell something that's already happening. Despise not prophesying, God's word being spoken. Now, we're to have that attitude, we're to honor God's word, but within that, right after that, the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonian believers, he says, prove all things, test them. Now, it brings up an interesting point. He says, don't despise God's word, but I want you to test everything. And what's the rub here? The reality is not everybody tells what? The truth. And not everybody is accurate in what they say. And as God's people, we want to make sure we're very discerning people and that we're able to discern. I want to give you a few illustrations about discernment here. Just last week on the news, a Catholic bishop wanted to save his city from evil. After the brutal murder of a 10-year-old girl in the port city of Colombia, Monsieur Rubin Diario Germelio Montaglior, the bishop of Buenaventura, announced that he would perform a mass exorcism over the city beset with violence, drug smuggling, and poverty this week. Now, how was he going to accomplish that? His plan? He's going to sprinkle holy water over the city and exorcise all the demons out of the city. And the military said, we will help you, Monsieur. We will give you a helicopter so you can take your holy water and spread it all over the city to exorcise the demons out. Now, did your spiritual discernment kick in at that point? Did your spiritual discernment say, that will work or not work? What will happen? Will it work? Will it not work? It will not work. Why? All they're going to do is just make dry sinners wet sinners. That's the best he can hope for. That's all that's going to happen. And one person's comment about that that bishop's efforts there, God had a better plan when he poured water out to get rid of sinners. What was that? That was called the Great Flood, Noah's Ark. That really took care of the sinners that time, okay? But I don't think his efforts. So your discernment, okay? That was operating. You got that right. Okay. It's almost a little humorous here for us as true believers because we know it won't work. Now, I'm going to give you another area, a story of discernment. When I was in Bible college, Dr. Harold Wilmington, he told a story in class. There was two students that lived on campus, male student, female student. Over the weekend, they got married, came back, and went and lived in their dorms. And he was just told about that. And they were thinking as administration what to do about this, because they just ran off, got married, but they're married, but they're living in the single dorms. And it just, does that sound just a little strange? Well, that's what they did. So he's pondering in his office what to do with these two students that got married over the weekend, but went back and lived in the dorm separately. So they're thinking about that. Well, that was in the morning. The afternoon, a student came in to him and said, Dr. Wilmington, I'd like you to pray for me about something. He said, sure, well, what's on your heart? And the student said, I want to get married. And he goes, well, that's wonderful. And he says, but the girl I want to marry doesn't know anything about it yet. He said, will you pray for me about it? He said, well, sure. And he goes, what's the girl's name? It was that very girl that ran away and got married over the weekend. True story. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. And this young man's thinking he wants to ask this girl to marry him that already just got married that nobody knows about. And he's sitting there thinking, in his mind, he's trying to discern, what do I tell this young man? Because there's no way he's going to marry this girl. She just got married. What would you tell this young man? And what he told him? You need to pray about this. I think you need to discern this a little bit better, you know? Okay. Discernment, is that important? Because that young man that wanted to marry this girl that already is married, somehow he missed the boat there. He didn't quite discern what was happening. On a little more serious note, is discernment important? Sure it is. Because it can affect our relationship with God and our relationship with others, and our relationship in the body of Christ, if we don't have discernment. I'd shared this before. This happened a few years ago at Wheaton College. There was a professor there that December 15th, 2015, wrote on Facebook that Larcia Hawkins wrote on Facebook, December 15, 2015, she is a professor at Wheaton College. She says, I stand in religious solidarity with Muslims because they, like me, a Christian, are people of the book. Does that statement hold together for true believers? Can that really happen? Are Muslims and Christians people of the same book? No, not at all. The Muslims, they say, God has no son. Allah does not begat. God has no son. That's a problem. And can you be discerning enough to pick up the problems theologically in that? Discernment. I was thinking about this about Wheaton College. I said, who hired that professor in the first place? That they weren't discerning enough to know where she stood theologically. Discernment's important. What does our text here say this morning? Verse 21, 1 Thessalonians. Test, prove all things. Is it true? Is it right? Is it godly? Does the Bible say it? And not only do you test and prove, the next part of it says, hold fast. You keep hold of it, that which is good. Don't let it go. You test all things. You know, it's important for us as believers that we test all things. Now, what's the problem here in the area of discernment? Do God's people sometimes fall prey to things? Are we sometimes, as God's people, kind of gullible? Can we be? Now, why would that be necessarily? If you're a person that's truthful in heart, upright in spirit, and thinks the best of people, your mind doesn't go to being dishonest, deceitful. And when somebody tells you something, your natural inclination is to what? Believe it, because you're a truthful person. And God warns us here. You test things and you prove them, make sure they're right. because we don't want to be deceived and we don't want to be taken advantage of. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Does anybody know what that verse talks about? 2 Corinthians 11:14. Does anybody know what that verse talks about? And marvel not, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of what? Of light. Can he deceive people? Can he trick people? Can he make something evil look good? Sure he can. He's very deceitful. He'll transform. He'll make things look good. Even his messengers can be transformed into messengers of righteousness, but they work for Satan. I was out working in my yard yesterday and cutting some bushes and stuff, and the walking trail that goes beside us. I saw two guys on bicycles with white shirts, backpack on, riding together. Who do you think they were? I took them as Mormons. Mormons. Now, are Mormons moral people, yes or no? They're moral people. But are they right doctrinally? Absolutely not. They're not right doctrinally. When they say that Satan, Lucifer, and Jesus are brothers, is that blasphemy? That's blasphemy. That is total blasphemy. That's not what the Bible teaches. And when those guys rode by, I thought about that. Are those messengers of righteousness? Or are those messengers of damnation and evil teaching bad doctrine? They are. The messengers of unrighteousness. You know, prove all things, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. I want to look at a verse here. 1 John chapter 2. Well, we'll start in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, we'll start. But ye have an unction or anointing as God's people from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. In other words, you're spiritually discerning. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. A truth and a lie do not mix. That's like oil and water. They don't mix. Now, if you want to know what a liar is, who is a liar? Okay, it's certainly Satan. But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, he is Antichrist. He denieth the Father and the Son. He is Antichrist. He is against Christ. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son has the Father also. That's discernment. Who is a liar? We've got to be discerning in these times. I saw a little cartoon one time. There's a computer monitor and a keyboard and a swivel chair and a dog sitting on the chair with his hands on the keyboard and another dog looking up on him. And he's looking down at the dog and say, you can be a dog and nobody knows it on the internet, okay, as he's typing, okay? Do you understand what that's saying? Do you have to be discerning when you read stuff on the internet? Just because it's on the internet doesn't make it what? True. Okay? You have to be discerning here as God's people. Who is a liar? We've got to be discerning as God's people. Well, turn to same book, 1 John. Go to chapter 4, verse 1. Now, this is beloved. Verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are or what? Of God. You got to test and you got to try. Now, we have an infallible book here, the Bible. It's God's Word. Genesis to Revelation, inspiration of God. It's God's Word. This is your measuring stick for truth. If you don't know the Bible, you can have a Jehovah's Witness knock at your door, you can have a Mormon knock at your door, and they can say, God said this, and how are you going to know whether God said it or not if you don't know your Bible? You need to know your Bible well enough to be discerning. Because it says here, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, even now is already in the world, the spirit of Antichrist. We've got to be discerning as God's people, that we don't get swept up by Satan and his lies. Turn to 2 John, first chapter, 2 John. Nate caught it. He's the only one that caught it. Do you know what I... There's only one chapter in 2 John, okay? I'll just see if anybody's listening out there. Okay, verse 10. 2 John, verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your what?
House.
Your house. Neither bid him Godspeed or God bless you. Doctrine. What does doctrine mean? It means teaching. What does the Bible teach? What is a doctrine? Everybody has doctrine, just what do you believe? And if somebody comes to you bringing bad doctrine, don't you invite them into your house to have a sandwich around your table. You don't even say God bless you as they're leaving, because they're not doing God's work. They're leading people to hell by their bad doctrine, and you don't want to bless that or encourage that. God warns us, be discerning, test, prove. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, Revelation 2, 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 says these words. Last book in the Bible, book of Revelation. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. This is the Lord Jesus talking about the church in Ephesus. And how you cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them what? Liars. Discernment. You know, this church at Ephesus, they listen to these people and they say, you're not a god. You're not an apostle. You're a liar. That's discernment. Now, does that sound a little harsh to be discerning like that? Because it have an appearance of being a little harsh? It does in some ways, but that's what truth does. Truth separates truth from error. And as God's people, sometimes we got to take a stand for what is true, righteous, and is of God, even if it might hurt people's feelings. I don't think Jesus was too concerned about the Pharisees' feelings when he called them a brood of vipers. Do you? Do you know what a viper is? A snake, a brood of snakes. Do you think he was trying to win friends and influence people at that moment? I don't think so. But was he trying to get the truth out and shake them up a little bit to help them realize maybe I'm off here a little bit in my theology? I think so. And sometimes we can't be so concerned about how we might appear loving or unloving, but we must appear that we're on the side of truth and righteousness. With that being said, as God's people, we speak the truth in what? In love. We speak the truth in love, but we speak the truth. And sometimes people may perceive us being not loving when we do speak the truth, but in essence, we're really loving them if we give them the truth. Because if we really love people, we're going to speak the truth in love. Be discerning as God's people. Now, the gift of discernment, it's a gift from God. Some people have that gift of discernment. Look at Acts 13 here. Turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, Apostle Paul. And Acts 13, verse 9. Now, Paul was being very discerning here. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. That was Elymas. He said to him, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteous, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? What was happening? Well, the deputy here wanted to hear the word of the Lord. Elymas, the sorcerer, was turning him away. And Paul just looked at this guy and said, no, you're not going to do this. This deputy wants to hear the word of the Lord, and you're hindering him. That's being discerning of the situation. That's speaking the truth. And Paul spoke the truth and dealt with this one that was trying to turn away people from God. You know, we do need to be discerning, even if it hurts sometimes, but we speak the truth in love. Now, in your life, are you a discerning person? Are you that person that, if I was to say gullible's written on the ceiling, you would look up? Are you that person? Do you understand what I'm saying? Look, there's gullible written on the ceiling, and you look and say, oh, I don't see it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people are just, they have that inclination. They're more gullible than others. But if that be so, are you stuck like that? Can you learn to be discerning? Or are you just fixed that I am the way I am and I'm just gullible and I can't change? Is that so or not? Can we move in maturity, move in discernment, move in such a way that over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, when God tells us, test all things, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, is God going to tell me to do something that I can't do, that He won't give me the resources to accomplish it? God's going to help us. If He tells us to test it, prove it, He's going to give me the ability. No, we're not fixed in a state that I can't be discerning and I can't grow in that area of my life. Because Satan will take advantage of you, and people will take advantage of you, and people get the best of you if you don't learn to be discerning, and especially in spiritual matters. In the book Keys to Counseling, they gave a good outline here, what I'd like to share, of 8 things to help you as a believer be more discerning. 8 things you can do to be discerning as a believer. And then we're going to work down through this list here this morning, because God wants you to test and prove things. Hold fast. How do I know what is good? How do I know how to test all things in my life? The very first test, the very first thing you run anything through, this is your first test, it's called the scriptural test. Has God already spoken about it in its word? Scripture test. Okay. How many of y'all like to pay taxes? I don't see any hands. How many of you must pay taxes? Okay. Some of you hands, I didn't see some hands up when you must pay taxes. You got to pay your taxes. Okay. Now, what if there is a way that you could cheat on your taxes and you think you won't get caught? As a believer, should you do that? Yes or no? Give me a verse that says you should pay your taxes. The things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God. How about Romans chapter 13? Honor those that are in, you know, government over you in Romans 13. There's verses that tell you, you need to pay your what? Your taxes. So, you're trying to be discerning here. Satan puts an idea in your mind. Hey, I don't have to pay my tax. I don't have to pay this. And then you remember, you run it through the scripture test. What does God's word say about it? Oh, God says I should pay my taxes. So what do? You pay your taxes. Scripture test. Run it through scripture. You want to test something? Run it through the scripture test. And if you don't know an answer out of Scripture, you find somebody that does know the answer and you get help. That's called counseling, guidance. encouragement in God's Word. Scripture, first test, second test. The secrecy test, to be discerning. Would it bother me if everyone knew that this was my choice? It's a good test. Would it bother me if people found out what I was doing? Would you have a check in your spirit? In other words, if you're going to do something and people found out what you did, would there be any shame or remorse or like, I can't believe this guy really did this, comments around you? Run it through Scripture, but run it through, how is it going to affect other people? And would I be ashamed of myself if I was found out what I did, the secrecy test? Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their ways. The integrity of the upright guides them. Would it bother me if everyone knew this was my choice, the secrecy? Scripture test, secrecy test. The next test, if you've got to discern about something, what am I going to do here? The survey test. What if everyone was to follow my example? If you're going to try to discern, you go to McDonald's to get your Happy Meal or whatever you, Big Mac, whatever you get. And you got all this trash. You got your French fry box, your bag, your soda, and you got this big bag of trash. You roll it out the window and think, I'm just going to chuck it out the window. Is that a good example for everybody else to follow? Because if everybody did that, what's going to happen? We'd have a mess in our society. Trash would be everywhere. So be discerning. If people are going to follow my example as a Christian, is that the right thing to do? Scriptural tests, secrecy tests, survey tests. In other words, what if people follow my example? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says these words. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. Follow my survey. How is other people? They look at my life. Be thou an example of the believer in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy 4:12. Next test, the spiritual test. Am I being people-pressured or spirit-led? There's an old saying, God loves me and everybody has a wonderful plan for my life. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody tries to push you into doing their what? Their agenda and their goals. People do push you. If you've got a decision to make, are you being led of God for this decision? Or is this something that people are pressuring you to do to fit their agenda and what their goals are for you? Paul said in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10, am I trying to win the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Spiritual test. Am I being led of the Spirit? Or are people pressuring me to do this thing? Be discerning here. Why are you doing what you're doing? Are people pressuring you, or is God leading you to do that? Test number 5, the stumbling test. Could this cause another person to stumble? Three areas of Christian life: absolutes, convictions, preferences. Absolute is deity of Christ, virgin birth, inerrancy of Scripture. These things don't change. They're foundational to Christian life. That's an absolute. What's the conviction? A conviction could be, you might not go to the movie theaters. Is there a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not go to the movie theaters? Is there a verse in there? No. But do some people have a conviction about that? They do. They don't go to movie theaters. But other believers might go to a movie theater. That's a conviction. What's a preference? The color of your car? The kind of shoes you wear? There's no right or wrong to it. It's just a preference. A stumbling test. You're trying to make a decision here, trying to be discerning here, trying to know which way to go, hold on to what is good. If what I'm doing, could that cause another person to stumble? I talked to a man one time that had a drinking problem. He looked at me, he said, Pastor Andy, he said, for me, one drink is too many. But he says, after that first drink, 100 drinks aren't enough. Do you hear what he's saying? One drink's too many, 100 drinks is not enough. Once he takes that first one, he can't stop. So how do you build your convictions? Well, in Christian love, what am I doing? Could it cause somebody else to stumble? Although I might have liberty in this area, would it may cause somebody else to stumble in their life? You got to have discernment here. Because there are convictions. And we got to be careful that our convictions don't cause other people to stumble who might be a weaker brother or sister in the faith. The stumbling test. How do you discern? Is this good or is this not good? The serenity test. Have I prayed about this, and do I have peace in my heart about this decision I'm about to make? The serenity test. Is that important? Sure it is. If God's Spirit, in Romans 8:16, God's Spirit bears witness, our spirit, we're the children of God, God's Spirit can bear witness with you. And you're going to make a, you're trying to be discerning here about an area, something you're going to do. And do you have peace internally about it? Is this something that you feel in your heart of hearts, God's good with and I'm good with? Do you have peace about what you're going to do? Be anxious about, well, turn here. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. We'll just look at this verse here. Philippians chapter 4. It says these words. Verse 6. Be anxious, be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the what? Peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The serenity test. You're trying to discern something here, trying to decide something here. Do you have peace about it? Is God giving you peace about it in your heart? You're okay. You can do this thing. If he doesn't give you peace, then don't do it. Number 7, the sanctification test. Will this keep me from growing in character of Christ, the sanctification test? Will this keep me from growing in the character of Christ, the sanctification test? As believers, can Satan put I'm addressing men right here. Can Satan put temptation in front of our eyes? Can he do that? Sure. If you go to certain stores in the mall and their advertisements are right there, can that be a source of stumbling for you as men? Sure it can. The sanctification test, you go into the mall, you have this choice of going down this corridor or going down this corridor. This one you know has these type of stores. This one has stores that are not offensive to us. Which way would you take as a man? The sanctification, you should take the pathway that helps you to keep your sanctification and your purity as a man. Will this help me? Will this keep me from growing in the character of Christ? If I go down this aisle, that's not good. If I go down this aisle, that's a good aisle to go down. You know, the sanctification test, we need to make a decision and be discerning. Because Satan will put stumbling blocks in front of our eyes. Computer, it's a wonderful thing. But it can damage marriage and homes. You know why? Because pornography is just what? A click away. And men, you're discerning. You know, a discerning man will do this. He will put covenant eyes. He will put some thing on his computer to give him somewhat accountability. Is that to choke him or restrain him or restrict him? Yeah, it is. Because our sinful natures incline toward things that we ought not to. And we want to make sure we are wise and discerning, that we put safeguards in check. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the best thing to do as men is to put safeguards in our lives so that we protect our purity, we protect our eyes, we protect our wife, we protect our children. We put these safeguards to help us. The sanctification test. Will this keep me from growing in the character of Christ? The last test, number 8, is a supreme test. Does this glorify God? Being discerning here. Does this glorify God? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Can anybody quote that verse? 1 Corinthians 10:31. What does that say? Very good, Joanne. Whatever you eat or whatever you drink, do all for what? The glory of God. And if you want to be discerning here, whatever decision, whatever, is this going to glorify God or is this going to drag God's name down in the mud, what I'm going to do? And ultimately, if we really love God, we want to glorify Him and honor Him as God's people. The supreme test, does this glorify God? Whatever you eat or whatever you drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Turn back over here to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 21. Prove or test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove or test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, this week, you're here on a Sunday morning. You can look backwards. Is there anything this past week you weren't very discerning about? Satan got one up on you. And you look back and say, that was not a good decision. I wasn't very discerning. I didn't exercise good judgment, moral judgment in this matter. Now, we got a week ahead of us. Is there anything out of these 8 tests that you can start putting into action that will help you be discerning in this coming week? Because maybe you were defeated this past week. But moving forward, can you move and grow in your discernment of life, of honoring God, and living for Him? Because verse 23 here says that God wants us to be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One day He's coming back again, and He wants us to be discerning people. Satan's out there. Seeking whom he may, Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. And let us this week not be devoured by Satan. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've looked at these tests that we can go through as believers, and Father, I pray that we'd be discerning, that we wouldn't be gullible, that Lord, Satan wouldn't pull a fast one on us. And God, how many families are ruined by men who don't exercise boundaries in their lives and live a life that's honoring to You. And Father, how many women make mistakes by not being discerning and being very gullible. And Lord, they hurt themselves and others that love them. So, Lord, I pray this week that we would test all things as far as Scripture and through the Scripture test. And, God, that we would prove ourselves men and women of God who know the Word of God, that can test things and make sure they're just and true and pure and lovely and all these things, God. So bless us this week. Lord, help us to be discerning as God's people. We'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.